This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It's 18:20 on Power Business, and on the line I'm joined by Lesego Mashego, who joins us to unpack the Finmarks Trust's annual Finscope Consumer SA report. She's head of financial inclusion at the Finmark Trust. They were taking stock of the state of household strain that we're seeing in South Africa today, and also just trying to get a little bit more insights about how South Africans are spending their salaries, as well as some of the developments in the labour market. Lesego, good evening to you. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Nolitando, and to the Power FM listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for chatting to us this evening. Maybe before we get into the nitties of the report, let's get into the purpose of the report. Why the Finmark Trust does go and make sure that they get their hands on this data?
So we started 20 years ago to collect this data, and that was really for us to understand how people manage their financial lives, but also how they use and access financial services so that we would be better, so that we would be able to inform policymakers, but also the financial sector as a whole, on what is happening from a financial inclusion landscape. And that's the reason why we started this.
Brent, let's get into some of the data that comes out of here. I will be very honest that when I was reading some of it, I was actually really, really surprised by just how much strain you are seeing out there. Lesego, just take us through some of that data, maybe starting off by looking at what we are seeing just in terms of people's ability to access food, water, electricity.
Yeah, so I think that to us also opened our eyes, right? Especially in the way that we develop our programs and what we need to be thinking about, but also in the way that the sector provides services, financial services. So what stood out in this data specifically from a living expenses perspective is that 84.3% of people, their income actually goes to consumption and living expenses. If we break that down, 30.4% of it is used for food, 11.5% of it is used for energy, 9.1% of it is used for transport, and then 8.8% of it is used for communication. It does tell you that there's very little left to save and do other things, right, that you may need in order for you to be able to achieve your goals. So South Africans are a bit under pressure currently.
I mean, I also came just to then speak about, just a salary here. And I think when I was doing my reading here, it was very clear that when we look at a salary in South Africa, different parts of the salary do very specific things. Let's talk about how South Africans are spending their pay.
So they use a lot of it for only 84% is allocated to consumption and living expenses. About 2% is then allocated to savings. Roughly about 5% is then allocated to things like medical insurance, etc. So majority of it just goes to the breakdown that I gave to you. 84% goes to that breakdown. That's how they share their wallet. The rest, only a little bit, about just less than 20%, will then be allocated to everything else that they require, including things that they require to mitigate risk, including things they require from a medical expenses perspective. Only 20%, less than 20% actually is allocated to that.
Let's also talk about electricity, because I think this was one that stood out for me here, and just how much consumers are spending on electricity. I guess all of this speaking to those very steep tariff increases that we've seen over the last few years.
Yes, the increases have been really high in Olutando, and I mean, we have from our data, what we've observed is that there's people that actually have gone without electricity, 41% to be precise, because they couldn't afford it. So they chose not to pay and were in the dark. So they didn't even wait for load shedding to come. They just couldn't afford it. And 41% of them said that because I couldn't afford it, I actually didn't pay for it and I didn't have it.
It is a very, I think, a very scary one to look at. Also interesting here is some of the data relating to labor as it's emerged from the survey here, looking at the formal economy, the informal economy, and how all of that is contributing to the greater well-being of South Africans.
So our labor force has shrunk From 47% in 2003, we did a comparative analysis this time around because we were turning 20, to 39% in 2023, which means we are actually as a country failing to keep up with the population growth, which indicates that the population has grown by 18 million. The formal sector continues to be the predominant sector that employer, with people, 20% of adults working in the formal sector. But this compared to the 32% in 2023 is low, right? So it's unable to absorb the number of adults that need jobs. The informal sector, on the other hand, seems to be doing much better. In 2003, it employed 4 million adults. Currently, it employs about 8.5 million adults, which is about 112% change. But this growth that it has is still insufficient to be able to absorb the number of people that are looking for jobs. So we're not doing great from that perspective either.
Also keen to get more insights here on what we're seeing in terms of consumers really needing credit to make it through the month. I mean, we've spoken to banks who've made this very, very clear to us. Alessandra, what does your data tell you?
So our data tells us that 61% of South Africans are using credit, so they are active credit users. The thing that worries us, though, is that majority of them use credit, so they access credit facilities like your store accounts, they access unsecured loans, and very little in terms of developmental loans. Mm-hmm. So 35% of credit active consumers, which is about 15 million individuals, indicated that they borrowed money to basically fill the gap. They paid for unforeseen bills, but also they paid for day-to-day needs, which is worrisome, right? Because it means that they're not able to access the productive credit. Mm. So what we're also finding is that there are people that actually 15% specifically indicated that they would like to use credit to launch a business. 47% said they wanted to build a house or fund a housing project, but they're unable to because they're not able to access that credit.
Sure. Let's also talk, I think it's a very important one that we touch on here, on making sure that we understand how South Africans may also be interacting with savings and investment products, because that means that there's not enough money to get by. That probably means there's not enough money to save. And I think what probably breaks my heart the most is that what South Africans can afford and all they do invest in is funeral policies. And of course, we know that that works when it's necessary, but it isn't a route to a sustainable wealth or even something that you can leave for your children in the future?
So, Nolitando, I think you touched on a topic that's my favorite topic, right? I think we save quite a bit as South Africans for funeral insurance. We don't cover against other risks, but we also don't save for things that may be meaningful. I think a key thing that we know is that education and income have a correlation. But I don't think we see it that way. So what we found from our data is that 86% of people do not have a retirement plan, which means those are the people that if they are nearing retirement age and still do not have a retirement plan, they will then form part of the grant population, right, although they may have been employed. I mean, just looking at the numbers of people that are earning between 9,999 and 20,000 rand, you would think that those people would be saving for retirement. 62% of them actually do not save for retirement. In terms of people that are working, I think we all know that these products are geared for people that are in the formal employment and not necessarily those that are employed in the informal sector. And I guess that's the reason why it raises that number, right, and increases it to 86%, because we're only serving a portion of the South African population. some have indicated that for them, majority actually said that they don't save for these things because they don't have a job. They don't save because they earn too little or don't have enough money to actually be able to pay to save for their retirement. But I think a big conversation that needs to be had in South Africa is just checking, why are we able to pay for funeral covers and why are we not able to think about what will I need in the future and how do I start saving for that?
I wish we were speaking under a better circumstance. And I do hope that, you know, as we see interest rates fall at some point and, you know, the growth environment improves here, we can see a better outcome here for South Africans. Thank you so much for your time and for taking us through this data.
Thank you, Nolutando.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.